Back in 2020, the CEO of Delta Airlines made a big announcement.
Starting March 1st, Delta Airlines will become the first airline to go fully carbon neutral on a global basis.
So Delta Airlines announces it's going to spend $1 billion on sustainability efforts.
And part of Delta's billion-dollar plan was buying something called carbon credits. These credits are a way for companies to fund green energy projects without having to cut down on their own emissions or change how they operate their businesses. As an airline, Delta produces a lot of emissions because commercial airplanes rely so heavily on jet fuel. Our colleague Shane Shiflett started looking into the carbon credits that Delta bought and the renewable projects they support.
One of the projects that I came across early on is this wind farm in India. It's in a southwestern state of India. They're just south of a forest, actually, where wild elephants have been spotted foraging in bamboo. And in 2010, they started construction on a string of wind turbines, 34 wind turbines that were kind of up on this hilly area overlooking some, villages. And so this wind farm was up and running starting in about 2011, and it had been running profitably and productively ever since then.
Carbon credits are supposed to go to projects that wouldn't be financially sustainable otherwise. But the credits Delta bought weren't doing that. The wind farm had been in operation for 10 years. And this made Shane question whether Delta's money was doing what it was supposed to do.
And I wondered, why would a wind farm in India that supposedly has a pretty strong track record, a financial track record, need to be subsidized to continue to operate?
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Thursday, September 1st. Coming up on the show, is the market for corporate carbon credits working?
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
The idea behind carbon credits is that they provide a way for companies that pollute to still try to help the environment by subsidizing green energy.
A carbon credit removes or reduces carbon in one part of the world when another part of the world is producing it. So you come out with a net zero carbon emission.
When I think of carbon credits, I think of like planting a forest. Is that what we're talking about?
That's one such type of project. But there are also carbon credits from technology-based approaches. So like the wind farm we were talking about, there's protecting a rainforest from being clear-cut illegally by loggers, or capturing methane from a landfill so it doesn't disperse into the atmosphere. So all of these efforts and activities are undertaken to sort of avoid or reduce the amount of carbon emissions going into the atmosphere.
Companies that build green projects can tally up the environmental benefits and turn them into a financial product that can be bought and sold. That's the carbon credit. The goal is to fund projects that wouldn't otherwise exist. About 20 years ago, that concept got a boost from the United Nations.
The carbon market and carbon credits, by extension, can be traced back to a UN program called the Clean Development Mechanism. And it was designed for governments, countries, folks in industrialized nations to be able to pay for projects in the developing world. And this Clean Development Mechanism, the CDM, as it's known, developed a lot of rules and protocols and procedures And projects would sign up to register with the CDM. Take the wind farm in India that we discussed earlier, went to sign up for the CDM program. And they review it and they decide whether to accept it. In this case, the Indian wind farm was accepted into the program. And now it is able to issue credits and sell those on this international marketplace to subsidize its activities.
And why did this seem like a good idea to the UN?
The UN wanted to incentivize countries to reduce their emissions. And this was more of a market-based approach to allow companies to choose what they wanted to purchase and choose what they wanted their funds to go to.
The Clean Development Mechanism, or CDM, did well at first. Shane says a ton of projects got off the ground this way.
It was a success. The project was a resounding success. It spurred development of projects across the globe. Towards the end of 2011, it had almost 4,000 projects registered. Renewable energy projects took off with the help of the CDM, and they continued to expand in the developing world and in places like China and India.
CDM funding went toward new renewable energy projects like solar and wind and hydroelectric power all around the world. There were millions of credits created, and demand for these credits skyrocketed, especially after the 2021 UN Climate Conference in Glasgow, Scotland.
The long-awaited climate summit has opened in Glasgow with one principal aim: to get the world to commit to reduce carbon emissions and avoid a climate catastrophe.
An ambitious initiative, a plan to phase out oil and gas led by Costa Rica and Denmark.
Nearly 200 nations have finally reached a COP26 climate agreement in Glasgow, Scotland. It comes after marathon talks amid intense negotiations after the summit ended.
After the Glasgow summit, there was more pressure on big companies to reduce their carbon footprints. So one way they did that was through carbon credits.
When you fast forward a couple of years and you have more and more companies every year setting ambitious climate goals, part of those climate goals are met through the use of carbon credits. And so demand eventually starts to come back to the market.
Now there are a lot of different types of carbon credits. But one type that's still very popular are credits for renewable energy projects that were created under the original CDM program. Shane found that companies like Boeing, Lyft, and Spotify bought carbon credits issued under the CDM program.
So these are extremely cheap compared to reducing their own emissions, which would require them to forego business activities or stop burning fossil fuels and stop flying planes around the country. And it's a fraction of their overall revenues.
But how effective are these credits? That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems. But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Early last year, Delta spent $30 million on carbon credits. Some of these credits came from a renewable project that originated under the CDM. And a chunk of that money went to that wind farm in India. And what did you find out was happening at this wind farm?
Well, this wind farm didn't need the revenue from the sale of these credits at the end of the day. The Indian wind farm had been operating productively and profitably for about a decade before Delta came in.
So what did the wind farm do with the credits? Does that money go to the wind farm?
That money goes to Spanish multinational conglomerate Acciona.
Acciona owns the wind farm,
which has renewable energy projects all around the globe, which they earn income and earn revenue from this, from energy sales, as well as the sales of carbon credits.
So if it didn't need this money to build the wind farm, what did it do with it?
It went to into an earnings statement.
In other words, this money went to the wind farm's owner, Acciona, as almost pure profit. It didn't go to building new renewable projects. Acciona said when it sold Delta those credits, it was operating under the original guidance laid out by the CDM. Delta declined comment.
The Indian wind farm isn't a unique case at all. About a third of the credits purchased last year were from wind farms and solar plants and dams, renewable energy projects, just like these wind farms. A lot of them were from places like China and India, where these projects have been viable and competitive with fossil fuels for some time.
Since the CDM started 20 years ago, other programs outside of the UN have been created. And some of those are selling credits that are more expensive, but also more effective. In contrast, many of the credits issued under the CDM are funding projects that don't require subsidies.
These credits are among the cheapest in the marketplace. And so when you have a surplus of cheap renewable energy credits that were produced under an aging CDM program competing against newer, more innovative projects, their credits are going to cost a lot more than those old renewable ones.
The UN stands by the CDM program, saying it helped accelerate the adoption of renewable energy. When Shane reached out to some of the companies that bought credits issued under the CDM program, he got a range of answers. Boeing said it stands by its carbon credit purchases. Lyft says it will move away from them. Spotify declined to comment.
Do you think the carbon credit system is salvageable? Is it worth trying to preserve?
I mean, there's definitely projects out there that are working very hard to reduce emissions and remove carbon from the atmosphere, and they need finance from anywhere they can get it. And the carbon markets help serve that purpose. But one of the problems is, as this market grows, helping those projects stand out so that they are seen by corporate buyers who are currently looking for usually cheaper credits. I don't think anybody argues that renewable energy isn't a necessary tool in combating climate change or isn't good for the environment. The question is whether or not they deserve to be supported by the carbon market that is really trying to invest in projects that'll eventually reverse emissions. And when you have a project category like renewable energy that's cost competitive and being deployed in many places around the world without taking advantage of carbon finance, it does raise questions about the integrity of the marketplace, whether or not this is a bonus for big corporations or whether it's a way for big polluters to cheaply say that they're taking action without really rolling up their sleeves and doing the hard work, which is reducing their emissions.
That's all for today, Thursday, September 1st. Quick note, Spotify, which we mentioned in this episode, is the parent company of Gimlet. And as you know, The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Fred Dvorak. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.